What a great day. It's raining in California. Surely the Lord has smiled on us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our God is a consuming fire. And Jesus is the water of life. He's a wellspring, the word teaches us. Scriptures say, springing up on the inside of us. And how thankful I am for the rain. Smells great outside. Sky's beautiful and cloudy. You have to look on the inside to see the sun. Isn't that awesome? And I thank God for this incredible day that He made. We say here all the time at PFC, it didn't just show up. God made it. Every law that established the foundation of all the heavens and all the earth and a day. The order of God's will established today. Today is the order of the Lord. And I used to say a long time ago, and I still say it today, Ray actually read it, God is so God. He's beyond description. He's beyond us being able to identify Him based on what we see or what we want to see. He's so far beyond that the Word says that when He does something, He does it exceedingly, meaning more, abundantly, greater, beyond the measure of anything you could think or you could ask or you could pray for. And if you would just simply realize that sometimes, oftentimes, God is just taking things out of your way that you don't even know are in your way. And a lot of times we just want to see something new. And we're that type of a creature. You could say that habit or that perspective or is habitually on the inside of us. We just have a nature to want to see things new. And when we get something that's new, we like to keep it looking new. You know, a pair of shoes. I like to shine my own shoes. I just like to shine shoes. Kind of strange, right? I don't know. But I like things looking the way they're supposed to. I like things looking the way they looked when I bought them. I like to take care of things. God likes you looking new. He likes you looking shiny. He says you're a light. He likes you looking bright. He wants you to feel new. And sometimes, oftentimes, a lot of times, God moves things out of our way so we have the advantage of correct perspective. Now we don't think we need that. We just kind of want God to make things better. But before we even come to the point in our lives of thinking or knowing things should be better, God is always ahead of you, preparing the way, literally, not just in a scriptural, in a churchy format, but literally in every aspect and sense of the word has prepared that. It's called being predestined according to the will of the Father. And if you'll have the heart to hear, it's really important to hear what the Spirit of God says. And if you'll have the heart to hear, then God will do something with you. He'll show you what's going on. And even if He doesn't show you what's going on, He will give you peace about what's taking place. So in comfort and in confidence, because God doesn't want you to worry. He really doesn't. He doesn't want you afraid. He doesn't want you concerned. He wants you confident. You know, confidence is a really, really important dynamic and factor. And you can take your seats this morning. Confidence is incredibly important. God doesn't want us feeling that we are unsure. He doesn't want you lacking confidence or assurance. Christ came to give us confidence. He came to give us assurance. And the last thing that we should feel is a lack of any of that. And faith inspires confidence. Faith gives understanding and insight. The reason Jesus spoke in so many different formats and in so many parables and gave so many different analogies was because he wanted us to understand, not just to watch, not just to see, not just to hear, but to understand. What I'm going to bring today, it's important that you understand. I'm talking about the appearance of the glory of God. I'm talking about the governing presence of the Lord. The governing presence of God. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. Freedom from what? From everything and anything that would discount your sense of His presence, of His guidance, of His instruction, of His power, of His authority. Because God wants us confident, so all of our, let's say, concentrated efforts are aimed at who He is and understanding who that is. You know, it's so important to understand that everything God does isn't based upon an articulation of words. A lot of times people, pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, whoever, can build a theology based on a specific word. Take a word and break it down and build a theology around that word. That is not the way you understand anything. That is not the way you get revelation. It can be a contributor to something. You understand the full meaning of a word, but we should never build our theology or our understanding on a specific word. That can become very religious and very misguiding. The reality and the true positive insight and understanding of God, His Word, who He is, where He is, what He's doing, has to be based on who He is. Who is God? He said, "I am Spirit." God is a spirit. And to understand the nature of God, understand the movements of God, it's far more important to understand the nature, the spirit of God. A simple analogy, God is love. Okay? God is righteous. God is holy. God is omnipresent. Now, upon the foundation of the spirit of who He is, even if you think a word is out of place or doesn't make sense to you, the Spirit of God will teach you what something means. It is by His Spirit, it's throughout the Word, it is by His Spirit that we gain an understanding. It goes as far as to say the Word without the Spirit is dead letter. So only the Spirit of God, like the spirit of a man, the Word says, no one knows the spirit of a man. No one really knows who he is what it's saying, except for the Spirit in that man. In other words, you and God are the only ones that really know who you are. And so it is with God. So Christ has given us as a gift of promise, a seal that we belong to God. He has given us Holy Spirit. That's who He has given us, Holy Spirit. And it is by the power of His Spirit that we gain understanding and we can see who He is. You can look beyond certain writings in the Scripture. Sometimes people say to me, "I don't understand what it's saying." And instead of me trying to explain, not that I don't or can't in a specific manner or a specific passage, I encourage them to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can talk to you in a deeper place than a man can. But when you hear from a man by the Spirit, you can hear the Spirit of the Lord in that person. And that's called unity, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Certain things will not appear, even though they're here. We're going to take the appearance of Christ as referred to in religion as the second coming or the rapture. It is very confused and can be very confusing if you don't understand the spirit of who is talking to you. And to understand the coming of the Lord, it's better to understand the appearance of the Lord. and to understand who He is. God is what? Ever present. Would you agree? So if He's ever present, He can't be coming. He can appear. But He can't be coming if He's here. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always. So both can't be true. Only one can be true. But the revelation of Jesus Christ is His appearance, and primarily His appearance in His body. He says, when you see Him for who He is, you will be like Him, for you will know Him as He is. Now, to see God appear in any form or fashion will not change anything at all. The eye cannot see the Spirit, but our spirit through faith in His Word can see Him. For it is written, we walk by faith, not by sight. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is the spirit of foretelling. All the revelations of prophecy point you to one specific thing, the Spirit of God, the heart of God, who Christ in us is. And He has chosen to reveal that glory. Now, we think that if we would see God do certain things in the world, that it would just change the world, but it will not, because it won't hold, it won't remain. Jesus said, to do the will of the Father is to bear much fruit that remains, fruit that stays. Anyone can do right for a minute. But only by the Spirit of God do you remain as He is, consistent, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We say, show us your glory. It wouldn't bring any change if God showed us His glory. I love the song. But to reveal His glory is a different thing. The exile from Egypt saw the glory of God. God addressed it. He said, you saw my glory. You saw my signs. You saw my wonders. And still you doubted and disobeyed me. And in the middle of all that, you built a God that wasn't a God. So then what do we look for? And what's the answer? What is God saying today? What is today? Today is the day of the Lord's favor, but you have to know that. If you don't have the understanding that this is the day of the Lord's favor, all the changes that God will make moving things out of your way will look like tribulation. Prophetically telling you, over the next 3 years, the course, the topography of our world is going to change dramatically. And God is glorified in it. And the first question people ask me is, is that good or bad? And I say, you tell me. What does your faith say? My faith says this is the year of the Lord and of His Christ. No one is governing this time but God. But how is He governing it? Through His body, the church, exactly like He said. Jesus talked so much in so many different ways and presented so many different parables in order to give you the one thing He said keeps you impervious to thieves. The thief cannot steal what you understand. When He uses the analogy of the sower, He said the enemy came and stole the seed. And later on when He explains, He says the only reason the seed was able to be stolen was because they did not understand the kingdom of God. Understanding. So this time right here is vitally important. Whatever I prophetically say to you is governed by the foundation of your understanding of the Spirit of the Lord. Water has seemed to be the theme, water and fire here in California and around the world, because it's been seen and watched around the world. I can't tell anyone here in California about the fire, no matter where they live, that they don't already know, because they watched it. Someone came down and I said, yeah, the fire, da-da-da. And they said, I know, I saw it. And I'm thinking, how can you see it? You're thousands of miles away. Well, you watched it on television, so you saw it. It's amazing how unified we are being in different places, how we know about so many of the same things, even though we don't live there. And that's because we have the ability to communicate on television, various different medias, things, and show pictures so we can see it. How much greater is God than that? How much more powerful is God than that? What is God doing? Man isn't doing anything. God has found his instruments, and he's raising them up all over the world to do incredible things, just like he said. All these things you've seen me do, you're going to do, and greater things than these are you doing. So over the next 3 years, God will be moving some obstacles, changing a lot of perspectives. We will look at our world in a different way, and you should be rejoicing over that. Regardless of what your hopes or dreams or themes or thoughts are, you need to rejoice and you need to see God in the midst of it all. God is in the middle of what is going on. He ordained it. He established it. Even in the fire, I have to say, God is going to be glorified. God is going to build a new psychology. He's going to build a new pathway of insight and revelation. God is going to restore in ways people didn't think. And what wasn't in places that are torched will be places that weren't. God is doing a new thing. And he is simply moving out of the way things that are in our lives. And I understand, not trying to be insensitive, I know we prayed and prayed and prayed for people and did what we knew to do to help people and will continue to do so and are heartbroken with people that are heartbroken and weep with people that weep, literally, and rejoice with people that rejoice. But all in all, God is God and he is Lord in all and through all, and to God be glory. God is doing something new and you should make yourself a part of that. And in order to do that, the word says it like this. It says, those that have an ear, use it to hear what God is saying. Hear what God is saying. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. There will be no way to determine what is about to unfold, no matter how wise you are, no matter what type of psychologist or what type of prophet or what type of preacher or teacher or whatever it is, whatever scholar you are, none of that is going to tell you the future. You can scholar yourself all day and all night. You can understand every Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic word in the Bible, and that isn't going to tell you anything. You can break it down, take it apart, and put it back together. It's not going to tell you a thing. It's when the Spirit makes something alive to you, and then you can see it from the Old Testament to the New, and you see God in His Spirit and His power, and you see His glory being revealed. That is the only thing that will give you insight and foresight to the future that God wants you to believe towards. And that future is just like the kingdom. That future is on the inside of every single one of you. Water is one thing. It would appear that water is one thing. It's two parts, but a triad in nature. It's two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. So there's always a triad. Amazing, right? Two hydrogen atom, one oxygen atom, a triad, but two parts. But the triad is still in there, and that's water. When you throw water on a fire, it puts it out. I always ask the question, why? Well, because it's water. That's not good enough for me. Why? Because when you put water on fuel or on fire, it absorbs the heat from the flame. And when it absorbs the heat from the flame, it creates steam. And steam displaces oxygen. And fire can't burn without it. So what does water do? It removes the oxygen by the steam it creates when it hits the flame. So water isn't just one thing, because if you put it on a seed, it then becomes a seed. And if you continue to feed that seed, it becomes a root, and that root becomes a plant or a tree. So water, in essence, is more than one thing. Water is many things. We have the oceans. But in reality, it's like God. There really is only one ocean. There's just one body of water, one very vast, large body of water that covers about 71% of the Earth's surface. And unusually enough, we only know and have mapped out about 80% of the ocean, even though it's on the Earth, and far more do we know and mapped out about Mars and the Moon. Isn't that interesting? So we know more about where we're not than the ocean that is 70% of where we are. And there are mysteries and there are secrets, and I prophesied about that many, many years ago, but didn't totally understand all the specifics. So we're seeing the nature of certain things, the nature of water when it hits fire and what it does. So it's a different thing. Water isn't really one thing, even though it's one thing, with three specific components, two of the same and one different, but they make up a whole. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we are born into that nature. When you're born again, you need to know you're born into a nature far greater than just being forgiven for what you shouldn't have done. You're being empowered to understand the nature of God for whom you've been created to be indwelt by. God wants to dwell in us. He called us the body of Him. We say body of Christ like it's a different thing. It's the body of Him. The ocean is one, it's one massive body of water. We have what? The Pacific, and we have the Atlantic, and we have the Indian, and we have the Southern, we have the Arctic, we have, but they're all the same body of water in different locations with different identities, but it's the same body. We are the body of Christ, different places, different characters, different natures, but at the same time, it's kind of like the sea. We know very little about it, maybe 20% of what we should know. And the purpose for the Holy Spirit is to give us understanding. But see, in Egypt, what they wanted when they came out, they didn't want to see the glory of God. They didn't want to understand it. They wanted it to perform for them on their behalf. And that would get you in trouble. Because the glory of the Lord is supposed to reign and rule over you. It's supposed to clothe you. See, water can be many, many things. Most of the moisture that comes out of the air is water. So water is not just water, it's rain. It's not just rain, it's snow. It's not just snow, it's sleet. It's not just sleet, it's ice. It's many things. It's leaves, it's trees, it's you. Our greatest portion of our physical being is made up of water. So water is not one thing, even though it is one thing. It takes on many bodies. So is the glory of God. It takes on many forms. The appearance of Christ takes on many forms. And the word says, and you are specific and unique in your own form. You are a form of the body of Christ, which is designed to take on the glory of God, just like Adam and Eve were designed to be clothed with the glory of God. And as long as they saw the appearance of His glory, there was no nakedness, there was no shame, they were without shame. So the glory of God was their shamelessness. God cleansed us and purged us from unrighteousness so we weren't thinking about sin and understanding how to sin, but so we could understand how to be righteous, not of our own works, lest we should boast, but God does it through us just like His glory comes on us. I didn't make it rain. We can ask for it to rain. We can pray for it to rain, but God brings the rain, but it comes out of the same body of water. And you come out of the same body of water. Jesus is living water. He said, if you drink from me, He cried out one time and He said, let everyone that will come and drink from me, and out of you will flow this same water. Same water. Not a different water, same water. But it's time for revelation. Revelation is the appearance of Jesus Christ. When we see Him for who He is, not when we look at Him. The children of Israel saw His glory, and God said, you saw my glory, you saw my signs, and it didn't change you at all. You didn't understand anything, and you all fell away. We need, you need, everyone should be hungry for living water. God, pour into me who you are, and pour out of me who you've called me to be. A form of your glory. You are a form of God's glory. The word says we are changed when we see him for who he is, not when we look at him coming on a cloud or out of the tomb. A lot of people saw a lot of things, but it didn't change them until they understood by the Spirit of God who he was. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And when Peter said it, Jesus said, there you go. You didn't just say a word. You didn't say what someone told you. You didn't say what you heard. The Spirit of my Father has revealed to you who I am. Peter, you are the rock. You are the foundation of the church. And upon this rock of foundation of how you who here and who you know me to be, I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. To me, that's the coming of Jesus. That's the appearance of the Lord. And it happens every single day. It doesn't discount any other appearance. It doesn't deny any other form of his glory. It simply says, he appeared today in his glory, and I was looking for it. I'm anticipating. I'm waiting for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in me, in the body. I'm looking for the appearance of the Lord every single day. Present yourself, Lord, in a way that I can see with my spirit who you have put in the earth so we can come together in the unity of the faith. We look at each other the way Jesus said not to do. I used to be discouraged. I'd preach a lot of times, and I preach in so many different places, little tiny places, huge places, few people, hundreds of people, thousands of people. And sometimes I'd get frustrated because I didn't get the response that I wanted. I dropped something that I thought was just mind-blowing, just changed my world, and people sat there. And one day God simply spoke to me and said, stop looking at their face and look at their spirit. I'd step off the stage, the platform, and that person would come up to me and go, that changed my life. And what I wanted to say was, boy, it sure wasn't obvious. You look like you were as bored as you could be. Like you were someplace else. We need to know each other according to the appearance of the Lord. The glory of God rests on you. God hovers over you like a cloud every day of your life. Did you know that? Do you know the cloud in the wilderness wasn't a new thing? It was a continual thing. God just gave them the ability to see who he was, a cloud over them every single day of their lives. There was no harshness. There was no hatred. There was no judgment. It was the glory of the Lord. It was literally a covering so the sun didn't burn them. It was keeping power. That cloud is with you today. That cloud of his presence. But do you see the appearance? Because you see, we see by faith, not by sight. I see the cloud of the Lord's appearance today. The Lord is appearing today. Prepare yourself. He is coming on a cloud of glory. And every eye will see him. And every tongue will confess, you are Lord to the glory of God. God would never have wanted a generation to pass away thinking they missed the most glorious season of all time. God would not disappoint. But you have to understand by the Spirit. My mom waited for the coming of the Lord. She saw the appearance of the Lord in his glory. She knew it at the last breath, but she may not have understood it before. My grandparents, your grandparents, many of them died waiting for the appearance of the Lord they thought they never saw. When he said he comes quickly, he doesn't lie. He came quickly. And he will continue to appear and to appear and reveal, and he will bring judgment throughout the nations of the earth, and his will be done exactly as he said. But do you know what's going on? Do you know? Can't you tell the season? We can discern the signs of the sky. They told us days ago it was going to rain. And not a hardly anybody in the church can tell you when Jesus is going to appear. Well, I can. Oh, but the Word says no man knows the day or the hour. No man does. But the Spirit of God does. And He says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What the angels don't know, and what Jesus is waiting to see, is how are you going to perform in the glory of God? How are you going to manifest the glory of His presence? Do we actually think that God is, there's only a little bit of God? What, is there like 20% of God in the earth today? Or is there like 60%? Or is there 90%? What's that percentage? So confusing. How much of God is in the earth today? One day God will rule in the earth. Wake up. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. See, the whole point is God can do anything because He's God. But what He wills to do is be revealed through His body, which is the church. The Word literally calls it the fullness of Him who fills all in all. He's talking about Christ in you. Understand the Spirit of God. God is omnipresent. You can't get away from Him. So how can He come and get you if He never left you? It doesn't change everything, anything. It elevates everything. We don't deny any event, any season. We see it all as He is. Just like when they said, show us the Father, He said, you're looking at Him. It doesn't get any closer and greater than God looking at Him, but it doesn't get any worse than not knowing it. I see Him in the faith in my heart. I see Him in the church's praise. And I'm not talking metaphorically. I'm not trying to be hyper-spiritual. I'm saying the reality of God's presence abides on the inside of us. At some point in time, your mind illuminates by your faith. And you just say, I feel the presence of the Lord. Yeah, but He was there every moment that you didn't. Just the same. Jesus, a man. He was a man. God in the flesh. God said, I'm dwelling fully with Him. The full power of the Godhead is in this physical body. And Jesus says, as I am, so are you in this world. We have to glorify Him as God. He is not limited. He is not absent. He is omnipresent with you. Why was the woman able to do something that everyone else wasn't? People were pressing against Jesus and not getting healed. People heard Him and knew who He said He was. And the Word says He could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So where is the power really housed? In the faith of the body. Water is not one, it's many things. Water becomes a tree and then becomes branches and leaves and fruit and seeds again. Water becomes snow. Water becomes, in a huge depression in the earth, water is a lake. In the most vast depression in the earth, it is an ocean. In a small one, in a mountain, it's a stream. In a deep hole in the ground, it's a well. But it's all water. How do you draw it? Do you swim in it? Do you fish in it? In a glass, it's called a drink. Water is many things, and so is the Spirit of God's glory. It takes on many forms. And if you knew how to interact with it, see, when the burning bush appeared, Moses knew, and God said, take off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. He understood how to show honor to the burning bush so he could hear God. The people, on the other hand, didn't and couldn't The word says they were deaf to him. They were blind to him. They couldn't. They had no understanding, so they had no relationship. The foundation of relationship with any individual is the understanding you have in regards to one another, or there is no relationship. You can fall on top of someone. You can die on top of someone, and that doesn't make you any closer to them. You can be a distance from someone and understand them, and they understand you and come together in unity, and you're closer than if you were sitting on top of their shoulders. Understanding is the appearance of Christ. Revelation. That's why the word says in these latter days. Yeah, it means the end. No, it does not mean the end. It never has meant the end. Read it. It meant the beginning of that which was prophesied to come. God has no end. He told you that. How could there be an end if he doesn't have one? Well, I came to the end of the road. You can't, because he said he'll make roads where there are no roads. So how do you deal with that? Well, there is no water. He said, I'll make water in the wilderness. I'll bring it up. People couldn't think enough to put water in the fire hydrant, so God will pour it out of the sky. God is God. He is Lord over all, in all, and through all. But the church, number one, Satan has nothing to do with who you are once you're born again. Just know that, and that's the end of the story, no matter what happens. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. First foundational, fundamental teaching of a baby, whom the Lord has made free, is free indeed. The wicked one touches them not. No evil will come nigh your dwelling. Didn't say you didn't like it, not going to like it. Didn't say there are things that are going to happen that you don't think are good. But the devil has nothing to do with the believer's life. You are free from him. He can't go where you go, because you go by faith and you go in the Spirit. He doesn't have any, and he can't. End of story. It's too simple. We should be far beyond that. The second thing is, you've got to give God the glory as God Almighty and worship him as God. Not just know he is God Almighty, but he has to be your God Almighty. You have to hunger and thirst for his word. Not so he performs for you, but so he does through you what he wants, so his glory is manifest in you. And when that happens, and as it's happening today, things will change into his image and his likeness, and God will be glorified. He will heal our land, and he will heal our nation. He will heal our children. He will disrupt disorder and bring order where chaos was. My God, his way is perfect. God, my God, Almighty, Emmanuel, God is with us. He never took that back. He never recanted it. He said, I'm with you always unto the end of the world. And what did he say? There is no end. The absence of power isn't that it doesn't exist. It's that it is ignored and misunderstood. God is with us always. He has filled me. You shall receive power once the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be witnesses for me throughout the entire world. God is like the ocean. He's one. He's all over the place and has many glories and different bodies. From glory to glory, the word says. We are supposed to go from glory to another form of glory. To another form of glory. But if you doubt it, you can't see and believe into that glory, so you're not going to cooperate with that glory. You may fight against it. God was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Some believed and honored and obeyed him and were honored. Others were swallowed up by the earth. Don't get swallowed up by the earth. Don't be conned into a form, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the acceptable, good, and perfect will of the Father. That's your call. So simple. He said, bring me a child. That's like the kingdom of God. Receive the kingdom like a child. Stop making it so convoluted and so confusing. You don't have to be steep in theology in order to hear the Spirit of God. The woman with the issue of blood just simply said in her heart, when I touched the hem of his garment, listen how she commanded the power of God. Because he gave her that power. I give you dominion in the earth. You can release whatever is in the heavens. You can bind from the heavens. Its power is given to you. What did she say? The moment I touch, let's see. the hem of his garment. I'll be healed. The power of Christ, the virtue of Christ, came through that garment, touched and healed her. Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Everybody." He said, "No, not who put their hands on me, who touched me." There's a difference. There's a difference in hearing and comprehending and understanding. When you understand, it becomes a part of who you are, because that becomes your understanding. We take on the attributes and the nature of what we understand, and to believe to be right and good, or to believe to be satisfying and empowering. And only God is that power. Only God is that peace. Only God is that strength. Today, I'm telling you, hear me and hear me loud and clear. You will not recognize the nations 4 years from this day. They will be so transformed by the glory of God. It will be a dawn of a new day, but it is not the end. It will be the very tip of the beginning. As God is removing the chaff from the wheat, so only the seed can produce the glory of God. Though water looks like one thing, and many bodies and many oceans, there's really only one body of water, just as there is only one Christ, only one God. And if you touch one part of it, you've touched all of it. It's all there. So is the Spirit of God. If you dip your toe out here in Malibu waters, you've dipped your toe in the oceans around the world. They are all interconnected. You've touched the rain. You've touched the snow. You've touched the water that covers about 71% of the earth. You've touched it, because in touching one, you've touched it all, because it's a part of all. God is whole and complete. He is here in his fullness. And if you touch one part, you touch it all. And that one part is, you are God and God alone, and there is no other. And you are ever present. You are ever powerful. You are ever authoritative. You are ever with us. You are ever love. You are ever righteousness. You are ever holy. You are ever joy. You are ever peace. You are ever fullness. You are ever provision. You are ever great. You are ever powerful and fast and strong and alive and well and healthy and joyful and glorious and peaceful and wonderful and discerning and insightful and prophetic. You are the then, you are the now, you are that which is to be seen. We see the future as things progressing over a period of time, but God sees time as everything present and drinking out of different vessels and experiencing his glory in various ways. And once we understand it, that glory appears. And we think God just showed up. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord? Where would I flee from his Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the earth, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord, and where could I flee from his Spirit? Nothing is hidden from God. And God is not hiding, but he is hidden within his vessels. You are the ark of his covenant. You are the scepter of his power. You are his willed and his purposed provision for his glory being revealed. Instead of waiting for a vehicle to manifest an appearance that we so desperately need, you need to understand that your desperation after the will of the Father is a revelation and the arrival of the presence that we are waiting for. God would never have one generation that he preferred above another. But revelation gives you insight to what is present, where others may not know. This generation will not pass away without at least a portion of it having the understanding that the appearance of Christ is here now every day, and we need to drink from that well. We need to begin to build a foundation on that understanding. We need to stand on that rock. You are the Christ. You are the ever-present Son of the living God, and you abide within us, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have made us the rock and the foundation, the church of who you are, because it's not by might or by power, but by your will and by your Spirit, O God. Don't make God who you want him to be. He made you who He wants you to be. Receive that. Don't be afraid of what He moves out of the way. Don't be afraid of what people say. If God is going to elevate you beyond any place you've ever been, then He's going to remove the things that kept you confident in who you are. So you could stand on a platform without concern or without debate saying, God has done what has been done. No man has given me a treasure. No man has given me a foundation. My reliance is solely upon the word of the Lord. And you will bear witness, Matthew Crouch, to the word of God that says, all I have done, are you upset that I have moved out of the way obstacles that you were not aware were obstacles? Won't I keep you and cover you? Haven't I given my servant my word to you saying you are covered? What more would you know? That I am God walking with you, that I will let you know how far along and how high I will walk with you, how deep I will walk with you, how far along the waters I will tread water with you. Over the period of the next 3 years, you'll see the developments that God has brought through the faith in the word that you have believed, and make connections and do things that you thought about that could, maybe should, and it will become crystal clear that God is with you in such authority and power, nothing can make either one of you afraid. Bear witness to a new baby crying, saying, feed me. That's the nations around you. Feed me. Make it available for me. You've lost nothing. You'll lose nothing. But many things will be taken out of the way. Many ideas, many thoughts. Past will be past. Present will be present. And what is to come will have a sense of anticipation without fear. The Lord will not say it the way you want it said. He will say it the way He wants you to understand. This is what you are to understand. This is what you are to understand. I am the Lord with you, ever present. It all belongs to me. Everything, what? All of it. The timelines, who and what, when and where. Trust in the Lord so the new can show its face. The Lord will make His appearance and you will see Him and know Him for who He reveals Himself to you to be. And upon that foundation, God will then build out what He has said, because today it wouldn't make any sense to you. But today it will. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all you need know is the Lord is leading you where you go. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, you're there. It doesn't really matter. God is doing in you what needs to be done to make a witness of you and to secure you from crumbling and falling of those that say and prophesy, it will fall, it will crumble. This is God establishing it, so it remains now and as long as God has His hand upon it. You are the head upon which God has put His hand, and that is God's hand upon it, because His hand is upon you. Rest in that confidence, for God has indeed given you a scepter to be truthful, honest, and powerful, to raise it when God says raise it, and when you do, the command is sent, the knee will bow, the resources come, the waters open their way to you, and God will make you a very well-watered garden. The word of the Lord. Give God praise in the house. You look out and you see some mountains and you say, wow, those are really high. But there are mountains that you don't look at. There are mountains you cannot see. There are mountains in the oceans that are as tall as the mountains that we look at on the earth. If you put the tallest mountain in the ocean, you couldn't see its top. God is taking us in the waters of His ocean to see the mysteries that He wills to reveal. And even in the terrain and the floors of the ocean and that which is in between the ocean floor and the coral, and that which is between the ocean floor and the life, God will extract treasures to those that hear His Spirit. And you'll see the wonders even of health and healing hidden under your feet all along. For the Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and power. That's your call. Water then becomes a seed. So it's not just water, but it is. It becomes an apple, but it's not just water, but it is. It becomes an orange, but it more than that, but it is. It's not water, but it is. Its glory is revealed, but it is. As He is, so are you in this world. Our anticipation is not to leave, but to remain, that the glory of God is seen by faith and not by sight. Your call is not to die. Your call is to live. He is not a God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Therefore, there is a resurrection, or He would not have spoken of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But He said that I was with you all along, but He said there was a generation that did not see. They saw by faith and they apprehended by faith, but they did understand what was coming. But you have seen, for the glory of God has made Himself available. Available. Lo, I'm with you always. Call on me, I'll answer you. Show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Why do you discount you as though you were something less than who He has created you to be, when it is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you? If you were to believe, would you discount Christ because He has taken up residence in you? Or will you say, because He has taken up residence in me, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me? And would you honor the Lord with your body, which are the temple of God? Don't you know this? I anticipate the word of the Lord, and He fills me. Matt, it is simply your hunger for the word of the Lord that has kept you to present day, to sustain you. Were it not for the hunger of the Lord, decisions would have been so fallen apart that there would be no retrieving, nothing to find, but God has sustained you through His word, as He has said. So what a good thing it is to hunger and thirst for the word of the Lord. There are three parts, three individuals, three things that will fade, and in place, two that God will establish as one. Not meant to be a riddle. Simply let God do what God wills to do and bless His name for it without fear, and controversy will leave, and security, as though you were fenced in by the presence of the Lord, and the Lord will secure all things that belong to Him that He wills to be in place, whether title or deeds or properties or things or what was. Give place and give way for what God is doing with joy and without fear, and enjoy the gift God is bringing to you, and worship Him, for He is God, He is great, He is good. And what greater thing could the Lord say than I am with you, walking with you, so you will know how far I will walk with you, if you trust in me with your whole heart. I am the Lord that covers you and keeps you and puts the smile on your face and the peace in your heart and the food on your table and the song and the melody in your home. The Lord is with you always and ever. Blessed be His name. We praise you, O God. Ray, it's an uplifting time for you and your house. Because what was so secure and what was so embraced and held on to, you just lost control. And God says, it is in the ability not to control that I give you the power to rule. What you cannot control should not be controlled. But what you give to me as an offering and a sacrifice and praise, I will give you rule over. And your words will be more powerful than they have been. You will say a thing and your entire household will listen to you as with an ear hearing something they've not heard before, and it will penetrate their hearts because of what the Lord has done in you. You don't need control. You need to rule. And only by the Spirit of God is that possible. And that Spirit has come on you. God has baptized you afresh and anew and made you alive where parts of you felt dead for years. The Lord has revived 7 years of death and will give you from this point forward of life. You have been resurrected in your spirit by the word of His power. And God be glorified in and through it all. Father, we do praise You. Treasures and secrets, mysteries and wonders. It's how deep You will go now. How deep Your faith will take you. That's where the treasures are. God has inspired and empowered and encouraged and quickened you to look for. They're in the depths of your faith. God, we worship You, Holy One, Everlasting Father. Shall He put no limits or limitations? Do not tell God what, why, or when. Simply as You have prayed in the past, so pray, Lord, I'm Yours. Do with me as You will. Would you believe that? If you do, you'll find yourself in a place and in a time that what is only a dream in your imagination. But you really have to fully let go and say, God, You work too hard. I'm not talking about your job. I'm talking about your mind. Close the door of your mind and open the door of your heart. In simple terms, stop trying to think it and work it out. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about your body. Be mindful of His glory and His presence. You'll feel a rebirth on the inside of you like you have not felt ever because of a revelation, the same Spirit, but a different glory. I pronounce that glory of God on you according to the will of His wonder that works in you in Jesus' name. As God closes a chapter of one page, one season, one scenario, He will open the door to a new story. This is that season. This is that time. This is that hour. And God, we give You praise for it. Today, You have appeared today, O Lord, in Your glory. You go ahead and give the Lord praise. Go ahead. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God is one God and one Lord. We will see the blessing of God in our nation. As much as has been contended against, and not even as a contender, God says, California, we'll see the glory of God poured into it and through it because of those who have stood faithfully and said, we believe You are in the midst. God, send us into the place that His heart is as hard as stone and soften it by the water of Your word. Make it a seed of revelation. So God will do a work of revelation in the state of California and throughout the nations of the earth. But I call out the state of California. Well, God is doing a new thing. The old is past and the new will come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the glory of the Lord be manifest and pour out in you. Bear witness to the glory of God. Let nations call upon You and say, the Lord has seized the land and there is nothing we can do. Those that walk in folly, their folly will be made even more evident. Those that speak lies will find themselves telling the truth for their own safety. And God says, and yet I am your safety. I am your comfort. Come to Me and ask Me for water, and I will give you a drink that you'll never thirst again as you have thirsted before. There is a great awakening in the nations of the earth. The appearance of the Lord is making Himself known. God's glory has come down. We cannot underestimate the spoken word of prophecy by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the creative force that engages all that God has promised and brings to pass. You have not seen the greatest glory. You yet to see a glory you have not seen. And that glory hovers over you today. Even in every word that sounds conditional, uncertain, God's certainty is in the cloud, and the rain of His provision is over your head. Raise your hands and bless His name and declare, God, your word is yes, and in you, amen. Your kingdom come, your will be done, and so it is here now today. God is doing a great new thing. There is a great glory you have not yet known. This is the great glory to come. Which glory remains over you today? God, we bless your holy name. We praise you in the midst of your people in this nation, in this season, in this time. And we declare, God, your glory is right. You make provision for your people. A new economy arises out of the east, the west, the north, the south. The Lord stands in the middle and calls it his own. God says, come to me, worship me. Worship me in beauty. Worship me in the holiness that I am. God wills to share who he is in you. So who you are is as he has commanded and called you to be, loved and chosen of God, favored of the Lord. This is the greatest season of your lives. Give God praise in the house today. We honor you, Lord. We praise you. We look to you. We call upon your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and evermore. We don't resist, we surrender to you, O God. So be glorified in your earth. So be praised. So be praised, Lord. So be praised. So be praised. So be praised. So great to have my beautiful little sister with me here today in the house. Yeah. Had a great time. She came down to celebrate with me and my family, and I love her, and she's just one sweet little sis. She's amazing, and she always has been. And Nikki, I prophesy this to you. The greater glory of joy, greater joy than you have ever known, is ahead of you. You will see more things that are wondrous, more places that you find joy. You will laugh more. You will live more. You will love more. You will enjoy more. God has opened up a joyful door of praise and thanksgiving. Simply said, this is going to be the greatest season of your life. Walk in it. You will laugh and love and live and enjoy more than you have enjoyed and that you have seen, and that you have laughed to present day. The glory of God's joy and fullness be in you, through you, and all over you. God keep, cover, and clothe you in His presence and in His glory. This is the greatest season of your life. Enjoy what God is doing and what you're about to see Him do in and through you, in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise. You're forever God, forever the same. Lord over all, in all, and through all. To you, God, be glory, honor, and praise. Holy and mighty is your name. Let the earth reel in joy and praise. No matter how the wicked and the nations rage, God is glorified in the nations of His earth. And Israel, the Lord is your Savior and your King. To you, God has commanded His Spirit. And from the prophets of old to present day, the Lord will be glorified in your nation. There will be joy in singing. The name of Jesus will be heralded throughout your streets. Miracles, signs, and wonders will take place in you. For the Lord descends upon you according to His word. He makes you magnificent in spirit and in power. Call upon the Lord. He will answer you and show you the greatest and mighty things that He has promised to do, O nation of Israel. You are the Lord's. Nations of the earth, call upon God with a sincere heart, without plans or without your assistance to help Him. and say, Lord, as a sacrifice, I present myself before you. Make me alive in you. As a sacrifice and a fragrance comes before you, let me come in my praise and my worship before you, that I dwell in your presence, and let your presence cover me, be a shroud of clothing upon me. God will remove the shame from the nations and raise up a sound of righteousness and joy. People that stand in confidence and not afraid to build, to go, to move forward, as though the earth was the kingdom of God and God was glorified in his earth. For behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Make no provision to fall away or die. Make your provision to live, to stand strong, to increase and to live. And God be glorified in and through it all. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. And every one shouted in the house. Give the Lord a shout. Father, we worship and praise you, mighty God of heaven and earth. What God has established will remain forever and ever and ever, and the Lord will be glorified. Don't be afraid of what may pass away. What God has established remains. Let your faith say, I am with the Lord and the Lord with me. He has kept and he will keep me. He has led and he will lead me. He has done and he is doing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How great is God in the earth. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Glorify him and bless his holy, mighty name. Sense his presence. Be aware of his appearance. Is he not here in his fullness? Is he not God? How could we hide from him? How could we be away from him? God Almighty, if there is life, it's you in it. How can the life that is within water be known except it enter a vessel and makes it alive? So, Lord, let your spirit breathe within us, that we may bear witness, Jesus, if you said, just as you said, that we may bear witness of the life that you are within us. So God be pleased. So God be praised. So God be glorified in your earth and in your people. In your name we pray, most holy one, Jesus. Give the Lord praise today.